sense. Okay, so we're on the air and in your hair, Bob.
Oh, good. It's been a bit of a, well, I guess about a week for me since I've been on, but that's life.
I had to jump in on Friday and fill in.
Well, I'm glad you did.
But it was tough, but someone had to do it. Today, by the way, is June 6, 2022. This is the Monday edition, which is a rare one for us on the Border Patrol Journal. But because it's an ostentatious day, which is the 78th anniversary of D-Day.
Yes, it is. And if it wasn't for those brave men that stormed that beach, we probably wouldn't be doing what we're doing. So
I
thank
suspect
you to
not.
all them.
So yeah, I think it be behooves us all to give that some thought and remembrance for sure of the
Yeah.
sacrifices those people did.
It doesn't take long to take a minute or two out of your day just to say thanks, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So over the weekend we had some news that around the belt here about immigration and human migration. And some of the stories are interesting about how people, for example, are returning to Ukraine in larger numbers than has been reported, certainly the press here.
Wow.
Frontex in a report actually issued today says that over the past few weeks, more people are returning to Ukraine than leaving the country. And it goes on to say that on June 2nd, Frontex announced that in recent weeks, this phenomenon has been going on in spite of the fact that the war is still going. And in total, 2.3 million Ukrainians have estimated to have returned to their home country since the war first started. Now, that's a significant number, and I don't see anybody reporting that on our press
No,
here.
no.
2.3 million, because we were up to what, reading in the press that 5, 6 million had left. Well, 2.3 million Ukrainians returning, and this is reported by the European Union's own multinational border and Coast Guard
Yeah. So
service.
they must have pretty good, solid, reliable numbers to do that, you would think. So I don't think they'd be pulling a number out of their hat.
No, it's clear to me that they're getting this information from border crossings, official border crossings from those countries that Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, and others that border Ukraine. So this is actually encouraging. The total number of internally displaced is now estimated to be slightly over 7 million, but represents a decrease of 11% compared to the previous month. And according to IOM, the number of internally displaced people in the country had actually decreased in the first time since the beginning of the conflict. Now, as I said, this is not being reported in our press here.
No.
And so I'm curious as to why that is the case.
Well, I think I watched the news the other day after we had gotten home, and they're talking, it was, well, basically talking about the number of times the Ukraine made it into international news, and the number of times that any conflict in the continent of Africa had been mentioned in the news. And they said that over the past 12 months, Africa had been mentioned 200,000 times in the course of the year. But the Ukraine had been mentioned something like 285,000 in the week
Really?
prior to when the poll was done. So now, I don't know whether that was just Western news or whether it was a worldwide take. I don't know for sure, but
Well,
back to that article that I sent in a while ago about life imitating art and the newsroom show with Jeff Daniels.
yes.
If it's a 72-hour cycle and they can keep it going for 72 hours, then they're certainly going to do it. But if something else happens to pop along, then it's going to bump something out. So
Well, here's something that just came in as we were talking from the Daily Mail. And this is a fascinating headline. Biden closes in on deal to resettle refugees in Spain to help deal with the surge of migrants at the southern border. And Canada vows to take in Haitian migrants seeking to work who have tried to cross from Mexico. Now, this is really getting to be very weird, I have to say. President Biden, this is the Daily Mail today at 9:12 Eastern Daylight Time was reported that President Biden is planning to close the deal at the Summit of the Americas next week with Spain and Canada to accept migrants from the Western Hemisphere. The deal is meant to help the U.S. as it faces hundreds of thousands of migrants illegally entering over the southern border from Mexico. It's also aimed at assisting with labor shortages in Spain. Canada is planning to announce new recruitment and promotion efforts to give jobs to Haitian migrants who try to cross into the U.S. The Summit of the Americas will be held in Los Angeles next week. Now, I have to r seriously wonder, with all due respect to the Haitians, what jobs will they be doing in Canada that require, according to our own Canadian government, technological backgrounds and skills and educations. Are we suddenly to believe that the country like Haiti, which is a developing third
Nation.
world country with serious problems on all sorts of level, is suddenly going to be the place we import, so to speak, the labor capital necessary to fill in the gaps of for jobs that apparently Canadians don't want to do in high tech or well, because I I'm just baffled.
Well, it I Why are we taking the lead from the US? Are we now the 51st state or what?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, this pledge from Spain, coupled with Canada's, as a report, significantly expands refugee commitment to the region, according to internal planning document reviewed by Axios, which of course is, a publication in the U.S., which is deeply connected to the Democratic National Committee. Okay, to deal with the prevailing migrant crisis at the southern border. Interesting enough, they don't seem to suggest there's any crisis at the southern border because the American president not even gone there to look at the and the deal. This is again from the Daily Mail appears to be linked and contingent on bringing migrants for work in both Spain and Canada. This deal with Spain and Canada could provide Biden and, in turn, the Democratic Party a political boost ahead of the 2022 midterms, where the border crisis and national security have taken a front seat. Now, this is curious. Why would the Canadian government be interested in making sure that Biden does well in the midterms? Would it be that our Prime Minister is connected at the hip in the Liberal Party with the Democratic National Committee?
Well, you watch, I guess, as the Conservative Party here in Canada gets closer and closer and closer to their new leader election, how much is going to start coming out about the link between them and the Republican Party, and how we're going to go back to Roe versus Wade here and
No, for heaven's
gun
sakes,
control?
what's that got? That is such a
It has absolutely nothing to do
nothing
with
to do.
it.
Well, yeah, well, of course, this is,
Stoking fears.
I know, well, this is part of the what I call the goldfish syndrome, where they have the attention of a goldfish at these statements that come out of the heads of these people. This drives me nuts. The number of refugees, back to this article, the number of refugees that would be resettled in Spain would be modest, according to the document, but it would be symbolically important. Now, who's being conned here?
Well, symbolic for who, I guess, is the question. But other than, as you said, for the Democrats and the midterms coming up, it would be very symbolic for them, perhaps. But yeah, does that mean that we're actually interfering with the U.S. political elections? Are we, something that we don't really
Well,
have to do with us? And
it's so obvious that there's some deal being made at the between these two political parties, where which thank you very much. This is not these are two sovereign countries, at least I thought we were, and then Canada. This is a fact. This just came in, and it's a fascinating article, which it's hot off the press for us to talk here. We may be ahead of other people in the next day or so when it hits perhaps the mainstream media in Canada, the US.
I wouldn't hold my breath on that one, I don't think.
Well, let's just it's just fascinating, that we would see something like this happening in it just makes no sense. I'm sorry, I'm just flabbergasted, and on top of which, you're going to see people flying these folks. Who's going to fly all these people to Spain, for example, or to Canada? You're not going to take a Greyhound bus, to the to Canada. They're not going to do that. This movement's going to be very strange. And then, I wonder, this is, how does this address a labor shortage in Spain? Really? You're telling me these people couldn't just go to Spain? Why does the United States have to ship people to Spain?
Well, yeah, and what's our unemployment up here now? It's historic high at what? Pardon me, 8.6%. So
Yeah, and
it
so we
is.
and evidently we don't have enough folks to do the jobs here. I know. I just came in and I'm thinking, okay, there's always something going on and that pops up. We don't have to worry about, our next armchair discussion, because the it's like an open hose pipe here of stuff we could talk about.
I guess it's also interesting too. I don't know if it was you that had mentioned the review of our so-called emergency that was
Oh,
so bad that we had to invoke the Emergency Act, and now you're getting the heads of the RCMP and the Ottawa Police Station saying, "No, he never asked." As you know, Tom, I'm quite a follower and a really big fan of Gary Larson and his family.
Yes.
And I thought, as I was listening to this, about how the powers that were supposedly asking for the Emergency Powers Act to be invoked or saying no, it never was. Gary Larson had a great cartoon, and it was in a courtroom. And you look down, and the caption underneath says, "No. No, Your Honor, we really do need to have an adjournment right now because his pants really are on fire." I'm wondering when that's ever going to happen up here. There seems to be a lot of that going on.
Well, without being too focused on this issue with the January truckers, whatever, and I'm a loss for words again to what to call it. But the whole emergency thing is beginning to look, as some have reported in the press, that the leader of the Liberal Party basically had a hissy fit because he'd faced serious protest, and his leadership was also being challenged. So this is really quite poor form for a G7 country like Canada. And when the various authorities say, we weren't involved in this, when the police chief and the commissioner of the RCMP says, no, the stuff that was being bandied about never happened, we didn't ask for the Emergency Act, it gets a little curious. And when you get people like Russell Brand, who is now making, a habit of lampooning Canada's Prime Minister on a regular basis. I mean, on Sunday, if anybody's interested, they can check it out on YouTube. It's really a very poor show of what I guess could be described as as an easy target for a comedian. I mean, the Canadian Prime Minister has got to be feeling the heat when one of the most successful comedians uses him as a punching bag. You know, it's just not good.
Well, we've got, unfortunately, another 3 years to kind of sort this out, I guess, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's move on, because
Yeah.
again, once people think that we're focusing too much on Canadian American issues, but you know, it's it you, some of the stuff we're reading now, you can't make this up. I mean, it's like I say, it's a fire hose of information and policy making that just is hilarious at one hand, and quite serious. In terms of the impact it's going to have going forward on society in these jurisdictions. On some good news though, one of our friends in the border poll community, which is Colin Singer from Wagtail, today is his 19th anniversary of Wagtail being in existence.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, so shout out to Colin for job well done.
Yeah.
I think you remember he came a couple times to our forums. He was in Madrid last time, which
Yeah.
is actually the last time we got together with our members, and we saw an example of the things that dogs could do for you know in all sorts of environments
Yeah, that
and.
was a very interesting little tour that we had in Madrid there with the police training, or well, the dog trainers,
Yeah.
considered just the police, I guess, but you know, the cadaver dogs and
And you
the
know.
animals to go into those situation rooms. It was just a remarkable demonstration.
Yep, it was very well done. So again, to Colin from us here at Border Poll, continued to success, and we hope to see you soon at our next forum, which hopefully is at the end of this year. We'll talk about that in a little while. One of the things that we were going to talk about, as you know, was the issue of residency and citizenship for money
Yeah.
around the world, and we looked at some of these places, and as you remember, we talked about Portugal has suddenly decided they're not all that keen on having Californians moving en masse to Lisbon for the princely sum of 280,000 plus costs. All you had to do was invest in real estate, and you move to Portugal. Apparently, the folks in Lisbon are not too keen on this at the moment because it's driving up the cost of housing to the point where the regular folks can't afford it.
Short term gain, I guess, but long term pain.
Oh yeah, but you know, you look at some of these schemes. So Portugal is 280,000, and you can apply for citizenship in 5 years, and you get and plus you get to travel all around the EU without any hindrance. A cheap version comes from St. Kitts for 150,000 donation. You get a citizenship and a passport. And a St. Kitts passport lets you go to 165 countries. So that's a deal compared to, you know, Portugal, because it's 280,000 euros versus $150,000. And interestingly, they call it a donation to the government of St. Kitts. Plus, it gives you visa-free travel to 165 countries. And oh, there's a cheaper one. There's Dominica for 100,000 donation, and you get citizenship in 153 countries. Turkey, 250,000 for full family residence. Greece, 250,000 euros, gives you the same deal.
Wow.
Yeah, Spain, 500,000, and you get residency. You don't get a passport, you get residency, but that lets you go anywhere. Of course, once you're in the EU, you're in the EU. Let's see, Grenada, $150,000 donation. You get to go to the U.S. apparently on a Grenada E2 passport. That's your deal. Some folks who would not be able to enter the U.S. on their passport would make it for 100,000. Sorry, from Grenada for 150,000 donation, you get to go there. Malta, 690,000 plus costs is a you get European citizenship for a full family, so that's a family deal. Ireland, of course, is now getting a little more expensive. A million euros, I apologize, €1 million for full family residence and no requirement to live there. Now that's curious. Minimum stay 1 day. For $1 million, you can, you get full family residence. Just be in Ireland 1 day. What's another one here? This is great. Montenegro, former Yugoslavia, country that's now a separate country out of the former Yugoslavia, for 450,000 euros, you get full citizenship and visa-free travel. Finally, the Germany. They're not exempt from this. For 360,000, they'll give you a European residency. That 360,000 euros, of course. And after 8 years, you get citizenship. And lastly, for the United States of America, for a minimum of $800,000, you get an EB-5 approved investment visa, which is a U.S. residency and obviously the green card. So the question is, are these things really useful to the countries who pocket these donations, or who gets the best deal here?
Well, it's a tough call. Obviously, that money coming in is going to help the government a lot. But depending on what kind of checks and balances are in place, it could sure be a boon to the, dare we say it, to the international criminal.
Well, it seems peculiar to me that on the one hand, you'd be asked to spend all this money when all you have to do is go to Mexico and walk into the U.S. I mean, no, I would suggest if you, I mean, really, some person from Central America or Mexico who has no money can't pay 100,000 or 800,000 to get into the U.S., but they'll fly you to Spain for nothing. I'm sorry, it just harkens back to our previous discussion
I
about.
was just thinking that. Yeah, like I guess we could go down and come through
San
Lisbon.
Isidro, yeah.
And say, gee, I'd sure like to go to Spain.
Yeah, because you can really sort of wonder how screwed up this is becoming. And of course, it's a boondoggle for immigration lawyers and various activists. But it really does then. The next question is, why do we even bother with borders and this all this stuff about passports and sovereignty when it's being completely made a joke of by these programs and these political imperatives that some people seem to think is just fine. Well, okay. At the same time, folks in the who are in the receiving communities or countries are, especially today, are laboring under enormous pressures.
Very much,
Because of inflation, because of lack of housing and whatever. Apparently, this is not of no concern to the people who are dreaming this stuff up.
no. Well, I think part of it, and if we have anybody that listens to our fireside chat here from Australia, I had heard many eons ago now that when Australia rewrote their immigration legislation, they put in requirements, I guess is the best word, that any of their MPs that had to or had made representations or had asked the immigration department about their cases and that for their constituents had to file a report before before Parliament. They actually had to get up and say, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, whatever the case may be, I had 16 immigration related inquiries over, because And I'm thinking to myself, what a great thing that is, because that puts the accountability back on to legitimizing things, like not just this kid in the candy store approach that seems to be going on now. So, if anybody knows more about that, I'd certainly be interested to hear about it.
Yeah, well, we would encourage our friends from Australia.
With the
Whoop, whoop,
Patriots.
we've got a problem here. Hold on one
Here's what I
second.
wanted to share with you today.
Somehow we
Our
pushed a button
conversation
here.
around mental
Uh-oh.
Do you get the we someone's tuning in. Yeah, no, it's the systems are interesting, and it would certainly be interesting to get an Australian expert, or at least an expert observer's view of this approach that they take, no question.
Well, again, and I had heard anecdotally that the kid in the candy store approach dropped off quite dramatically when people were actually going to have to get up and stand and say, if I intervene on 16 cases, and these are the reasons why. So, yeah, looking forward to some discussion on that.
Well, the invitation is clear to anyone to would like to join us on our weekly discussion. And of course, that's easy to do. You simply send us an email at member.services@borderpoll.org, or even just borderpoll@borderpoll.org, and we'd be happy to talk to you about appearing on our show and giving us some insight. We're always looking for some other talent besides ours to discuss this issue. Which then, how's our time, Bob? Are we getting past our half hour mark?
We're a little bit, yeah. We're up around, I guess, 3 minutes before three at your time, I guess.
Okay, well, we don't want to bore the viewers for too much longer, although I think we've had some very interesting items today on the news wire, particularly the one about shipping people to Spain. That really just came across as we were talking. Holy moly. Finally, I guess we need to put out a shout to our viewers and listeners that if you like what you hear, Border Poll is a non-profit organization, and everybody who is part of our organization, nobody gets paid, but we do have bills to pay. So we have to pay for the bandwidth to do this recording and put it on
Our
the
various
internet,
platforms.
various platforms. And by the way, it's now available on YouTube, as it is on Rumble and Spotify for the audio version. And so if you like what you see or hear, we sure would appreciate you giving us some support. There's ways to do that as a patron, and it's certainly coming up in the fall for our 8th Border Poll Global Forum. We're looking for our usual friends from the corporate side to step forward. We're also s looking at one of our host agreements to where we'll hold the meeting. If you have a suggestion of which location venue would be best, please let us know. In past, we've been to various countries: Holland, the UK, Hungary, the US. So we're looking for hands up on that. We'll certainly be talking to our events coordinator, Fela Moreau, about this in an upcoming issue of Border Poll Journal. But we can use the help, and so please contact Bob or I at by email at Border Poll, and we'll give you our ways and means of supporting the organization.
Yes, wholeheartedly.
So for June 6, 2022, that's our broadcast. We'll be back either Friday or next Monday, as timing goes. We try to do this once a week, with so that you are kept up to date. And We look forward to hearing from you. So,
Yeah. And just again to kind of close it out, if you happen to see a veteran somewhere along the way today, take the time out to say thank you and shake their hand.
indeed. All right, Bob, enjoy your week.
And
Talk
you
to
as
you
well.
soon, and stay safe.
You too.
Cheers.